I'm entitled to.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Joe Biden used at least three pseudonyms or fake names in emails that he was receiving from people within the federal government, people that worked for him. And even more troubling than that, Maria, we've learned that when he was receiving emails pertaining to Ukraine, his son Hunter was copied on them, which we've always heard that the White House has said that Hunter Biden wasn't an employee of the government, he wasn't any part of the government. If that were true, then why was he receiving emails from the government?
Because he was integral to the government, at least in the Joe Biden vice presidency, and probably still now. Integral in the sense that he had connections and he was going, as many have described him, the bag man for Joe Biden. Go collect the money. This is exactly what you saw during the Al Capone days. Al Capone never went out and got the money. He sent in forces around, said, hey, you want your storefront to stay unbroken and not catch fire overnight? You're going to give us a little money, right? And we'll make things happen for you. You want that competitor to move away? We'll take care of it. But there's a VIG, and you're going to need to pay it. I know some are already saying, Larry, you're overstretching this. Well, you know what? I'm at a point where I'm going to start overstretching because this thing just continues to percolate and simmer and boil like a witch's pot. Thanks for joining us again. Here we are, August 21, 2023. This is the first hour of Larry Connors USA. Video of the show is streaming at Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and of course on Rumble. So what you were hearing in that cut, House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer, Kentucky, pointing out all of these email pseudonyms that President Biden was using. Now, he's not the first to do that. We're going to spend more time on that in the second hour. But I will tell you this, what we have had, I've got a list here in front of me of six different U.S. officials using an email alias within the Obama administration. And that would include, yes, Obama. So it wasn't uncommon that, you know, they might be looking for our name to pop up somewhere. Let's just use another name. Why would you do that? If you're the president of the United States, wouldn't you want your name there so everybody knows it's you, POTUS, speaking? Unless you got something going on you don't want them to know. It's you. We know that Obama was using a pseudonym when he was communicating with Hillary Clinton on her private email server. And at the same time, he later claimed, I didn't know a thing she had. I didn't know she had one of those. I'm going to say something here. Do I have fact and proof? No, but I have good speculation. I've got a good gut. I've got a bloodhound sense of what's right and what's wrong. And why would he use a fake name sending something to Hillary Clinton's email server, which he knew nothing about? Give me a break. Now, there's another part of this story. In fact, there are several parts of it. This is one of those things that has so many tentacles. I can only go down one road at a time, but we're going to do it. Let's begin with the fact that Comer pointing out all these Biden pseudonyms. I mean, let me see. Some of the pseudonyms he had, one of them was, I got two different ones. I got all kinds of ones here. I think the one of them was a Jack Warner or something like that. That wasn't it, but I'll double check it because I want to make sure I have it right. But the bottom line is you've got Scalise, Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise, a Republican, and he says the fact that the then vice president was resorting to a pseudonym
Why would a president of the United States, or in this case, when Joe Biden was vice president of the United States, have fake names that he was using on his documents? We uncovered this just recently, going through some of our back and forth with the National Archives. And again, Comer's committee has been digging to get this information. Now that we have it, and I think they would deliberately set it up to make it harder for you, me, the media, the Congress to find out any of this information. Well, we're now finding it out. And as we find it out, we're going to go back and look under more pseudonyms, look under this pseudonym. But it begs the question, why did Joe Biden use fake names? We know he used fake companies. All the shell corporations, a shell corporation is a fancy term for a fake corporation. And he was using dozens of them to hide over $20 million of payments to his family, not just Hunter Biden, his whole family. So there's a lot of dirty smelling corruption around all of this.
Yeah, hold your nose when you go into this story because it stinks to high heaven. One of those fake names that Biden was using was Robert L. Peters. Robert L. Peters, and he had others, at least two others. So if you're looking for anything connecting Biden to any of those shell accounts, you're not going to find Joe Biden. You might find Robert L. Peters or a couple of the other names. And in the midst of this, Mike Lee, political strategist, said, there's a simple reason why you would do this.
There's no logical reason why money gets transferred into the United States, then back offshore, and then back into 20 different LLCs or a series of different LLCs and gets divided amongst 10 or 11 different family members in the Biden family. What work were these people doing? Mm-hmm. What on earth was going on here other than foreign influence peddling from Joe Biden? The fact of the matter is he is selling out his country for profit, for personal profit. He's dictating policy, okay, so that his family can enrich themselves. All right, this goes beyond the level of impeachment. I don't know why we're not already there. Obviously, there's not going to be a conviction, but so much of the country hasn't heard about this. The Hunter Biden laptop was hid from everybody under the guise that it was some sort of Russian disinformation. But I think the quicker and louder the Republicans go forward with impeachment, the more people will hear about this, and the more people will realize just how disgusting this entire thing is.
Now, Mike Lee, again, is a political strategist. He clearly said the vice president was selling out his country. I will reaffirm for you, there is no direct tie in evidence to any monies going to Joe Biden at this time, so far. And I will always add so far for a long time to come until finally we say, bingo, and I think we will. I'm looking at some additional comments from James Comer. You got to love these. House Oversight Committee Chairman. He said, who do you think they were referring to when they were talking to Hunter Biden, who they said was dumber than their dogs, who was a drug addict, who had no experience, that we need help from Washington? Who do you think they were talking about? Now, when he's making that statement, he's reporting and talking about some of these folks who were sending money to Joe Biden and getting different things sent out to him. According to the allegations, there was a phone call to President Poroshenko, who was president of Ukraine at the time. That email was sent to Robert L. Peters, Vice President Biden, and Hunter Biden was copied on the mail. So James Comer continued, here we see now evidence that shows Joe Biden did not, I'm stressing this, did not have a wall between the government and his son's shady business dealings. He was copying him on foreign policy to let him know ahead of time, help is on the way. We're going to go in there and we're going to fire that prosecutor who is trying to bust you for corruption, son. Those are the words of James Comer. Cherise Trump, we've had on here as a guest numerous times. She heads up the Speech First Institution. And she said, everything we're seeing now shouts corruption.
We keep finding more and more evidence of corruption, and you're starting to ask, maybe we do need an impeachment. Maybe we do need to dig deeper on this. I mean, when we're seeing not only strong arming coming from the defense attorney with the DOJ to protect the president, to protect the administration, and make this entire thing much more political than it needs to be, but in addition to that, you're seeing, again, the sitting president of the United States using pseudonyms in an email in order to disconnect himself from these emails that are supposed to be, business. Right, but they're definitely attached to the government. So how we just need to dig much deeper in all of this, and it's really concerning that we're not calling it out on other networks.
Yeah, not calling out on other networks. Now there was something that happened that contradicts a little bit of what she said. Not calling out on other networks. Let me take you to a soundbite from Jake Tapper of CNN and his admission.
Hunter Biden reported nearly $2.4 million in income in 2017 and $2.2 million in income in 2018, most of which came from Chinese or Ukrainian interests. But this directly goes against what Joe Biden said in the debate in 2020 with Donald Trump. Take a listen.
My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China.
What'd you None of that Vice is President? True. He made a fortune in Ukraine, in China, in Moscow,
that is simply
and various
not
other places.
True.
So it's from two different debates, but, I mean, Trump was right. I mean, he did make a fortune from China, and Joe Biden was wrong. I don't know that he was lying about it. He might not have been told by Hunter, but this blind spot is a problem.
Jake Tapper made that remark. Trump was right. Lock that into your calendar and your mind. Biden was wrong. Oh, but maybe he wasn't told by his son, Hunter. Except that these emails with Robert L. was on going back and forth in these emails and trying to say, I'm copying you on these. And they were coming from one of his fake names. Well, of course, we have a lot of polls in advance of the Wednesday debate. Trump has already said he will not be attending, citing he is so far ahead of the GOP candidates in the primary, why bother? And it's a legitimate reason, but I would tell you this, I don't like the fact he's not going. He blasted Biden for not being on the campaign trail and not willingly taking part in more debates. I think he should be there. But he would suck all the air out of the room, that's for sure. No other candidate would really get a chance to be heard or seen. Still, he should. But what are the latest polls showing Trump v. Biden?
This stuff has taken a huge toll on him. You know, Biden, right before the 2020 election, he was right side up, which in our polarized politics is quite astonishing. His numbers now look more like Hillary Clinton 16 than Biden 20. That doesn't look good for him.
I mean, yeah. To the point about focusing on the economy, yes, the economy is important. The two biggest issues is democracy, and an offshoot of that is the abortion issue. That is something that should be front and center of a message, but he seems to be campaigning in a bygone era.
If you watch that entire segment, when I meet the press, I guess we're supposed to believe that democracy and abortion are the two biggest issues that are facing the country right now, because then I look at Gallup and they poll folks on a monthly basis. What is the most important issue to you? And I'm pretty sure I don't see democracy at the top of that, or even abortion for that matter. The top issues facing this country are the economy, crime, immigration, education, foreign policy, you name it. I don't see any of those other issues even near the top five.
No, and I agree. That was Joe Concha with The Messenger and a contributor to Fox News saying democracy and abortion are anywhere near the top five. Now, there will be some out there that say, oh, yeah, abortion is my issue. Okay. But when we're talking about the general public, no, it's not anywhere near the top five. And democracy, you know why they keep driving home democracy? Of course, we're all about democracy. But why they keep driving it home is because Trump tried to destroy democracy. What the hell do you think Joe Biden and his company were doing when I just went through this first segment? Everything in their cells says and states destroying democracy. I want to share something with you, though, from Lawrence O'Donnell, the esteemed, aloof, I know everything, MSNBC, and he's raising a question to New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries.
The voter that's up for grabs is that voter who doesn't pay close attention to this kind of governing and to the kind of coverage of this kind of governing. And so is there any strategy that is actually workable to reach the voter, the kind of voter who doesn't actually want to be reached? They actively, it's like trying to make me watch golf. They actually don't want to consume this information.
Well, the closer that we get to the election, the more voters all across the country will begin to pay attention.
Yeah, and I think the closer you'll begin to realize you were way off base. But Lawrence O'Donnell, nobody really cares. They're the people, they don't want to really get the information. He's talking about MAGAs, independents, any Republican, whether or not they support Trump, any Democrat that is not going to really buy into what's being pushed in front of them right now. No, they're all about democracy, as January 6th showed, and abortion. And then Jeffries began to talk about, well, as we get closer, they're going to pay attention to real issues and talking about all the things we've been doing with the Infrastructure Comedy Act, as I call it. He said, you know, we're going to bring jobs back to America. First thing Joe Biden did was destroy jobs in America and send them out of the country, basically. And he said, oh, and we're going to get into guns. What does any of those have to do with inflation reduction? No, nothing. But still, listen to the progressive line from Hakeem Jeffries.
I think thematically, we're going to continue to point out that Democrats are working to build an economy from the middle out and the bottom up. Extreme MAGA Republicans, on the other hand, believe in an economy built from the top down that benefits the wealthy, the well-off, and the well-connected. We're fighting for middle-class folks, for working families, for all those who aspire to be part of the middle class, for older Americans, for young people, in terms of bringing to life the American dream. That comparison of our track record, where they have a nominee who's left behind a trail of criminal indictments, as opposed to what Joe Biden has done, continuing to put people over politics, I think is going to withstand the test of time and appeal to a clear majority of the American people.
I will have to admit that one line he said, Biden's putting people over politics. He's putting his son over politics. And as you heard him say in that first answer to Lawrence O'Donnell, everything we're doing with the Infrastructure Act is pushing us toward a greener economy. That's not helping. Program note, we will Wednesday be carrying the first GOP presidential debate starting at 8 p.m. Several of us will be offering reaction commentary. Speaker Tim Jones, Chris Arps, Mike Fitzpatrick, Vic Percelli, Tony Colombo, Katie Fitzpatrick, and I might have some worthwhile thoughts. Coming up in our second hour today, more on Biden, the Biden crime family, and Biden's re-election campaign. That's in the second hour. Coming up next, I want to take you back in time. The Missouri Senator Josh Hawley reinforcing how leftists have weaponized big tech. And I'm doing this because it's already in play again as we move to the next election. They're already talking about a new COVID on the horizon. State-controlled media, American values, the Constitution, the First Amendment, your rights. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The United States government is subject to the First Amendment. I think we can probably all agree on. Hopefully we can. Hopefully that's still true in this country. Is it appropriate for Facebook to work with the United States government to avoid the First Amendment, help the U.S. government avoid the First Amendment?
Senator, we do think it is sometimes appropriate to be in contact with government and with government organizations.
To help them avoid the First Amendment?
Senator, I'm not sure what specifically you're referring to.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think it's appropriate to work with the United States government to target private individual speech that is constitutionally protected?
Senator, I'm not aware of that.
Well, let me educate you.
Let me educate you. Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, in a recent congressional hearing with a tech book exec and others, specifically looking at how Facebook and the other big tech companies were basically working hand in glove with the Biden administration during COVID and during the election last time. I'm reinforcing that point because at the time he was doing this query of this Facebook intel officer, all the evidence had been brought out about the laptop and how the FBI sat on it for one year. And then when they realized he's going to break it, the New York Post, they sent word out, whoa, You guys, you don't want to touch a story. It's more Russian collusion. May I remind you, there was never one piece of Russian collusion. It was all a fabrication of Adam Schiff's mind and whatever dirty trick that Hillary Clinton, along with the DNC, Democrat National Committee, could pay to put together. If you're looking at destroying our democracy, does that not say that can't happen? Somebody should have put a stop to it. If only they'd known. Well, I'm glad I said that because Obama did know. Biden knew. The Attorney General knew. FBI Director Comey knew. They were all told that's a dirty tricks campaign by Hillary. If you want to be ethical and correct and right, you're going to say put a stop to it. Call it out for what it is. Nope. They all kept their mouths zipped tight. It reminds me, growing up in West Texas, there was something, big bug that would fly around. And we were told, I mean, since I was 2-3 years old, I said, boy, when those things come around, they're dragonflies, what they were, but they were big-looking dragonflies. You better keep your lips closed, because if they see your lips open, they will sew them tight. Well, I got to tell you, they're like kids that, you know, be having fun in dragonfly show. Not going to open my lips. Pretty much what was going on with Obama, Biden, Lynch, and Comey. A year and a half after the election, New York Times actually admitted, all that story the Post told you about a year and a half ago, that was right. No mea culpa, no correction, just saying, yeah, it was true, not acknowledging that they lied to the American public. And, of course, when it came to how big tech was being manipulated by our government during COVID, lying to you, and not only that, shutting you down on your outlets if you raised even a single question, is this right? I saw something about ivermectin. Alarms went off. And they realized they had a target to shut down. Even if you're telling a story about one of your own relatives, well, My uncle took it, and it really helped him. Oh, no, you can't do that, because they felt compelled to deliver factual information, or actually what the government said was factual. Senator Hawley continues.
On July 16th, 2021, Facebook, an employee at Facebook wrote to the Department of Health and Human Services saying, and I quote, "I know our teams met today to better understand the scope of what the White House expects from us on misinformation going forward." On July 23rd, 2021, a Facebook employee thanked HHS, quote, "for taking the time to meet earlier today and wanted to make sure you saw the steps we just took this past week to adjust policies and what we are removing with respect to misinformation. This included," and I'm still quoting, "increasing the strength of our demotions for COVID and vaccine-related content." On April 7th, 2021, a Facebook employee thanked the CDC for responding to misinformation queries, and I quote, "we'll get moving now to be able to remove all but that one claim as soon as the announcement and authorization happens." On July 28th of this year, a Facebook employee reached out to CDC about, quote, "doing a monthly misinfo debunking meeting." The CD responded, "yes, we would love to do that." Sure they would.
Sure they would. We want to do a monthly memo debunking. Good God. You know, it's laughable, and yet at the same time, the people that suffered, and they were banned and basically chastised, and who knows what effects that caused upon them, and that they were silenced, chilled, in many cases, because they just thought, I can't get ahead. I mean, how am I going to fight big tech and the government? I have no doubt there are many that said, I just can't fight it. I just go along to get along, I guess. They didn't believe it, but they put their kids through it. And I wonder now how many are going to ask in response now as to why we did it and why we got sucked into that. Hawley with the big tech response.
On July 20th, 2021, Clark Humphrey at the White House, who's digital director of the COVID-19 response team, emailed Dave Sumner at your company, among others, asking any way we can get this pulled down, and cited a specific Instagram account. Within 46 seconds, your company responded and said, "yep, on it." That sounds like what in the law we call a pattern in practice of meeting, coordinating, and colluding with the United States government to target particular speech that no one in any of these emails alleges is incitement, which would not be constitutionally protected. No one in any of these emails alleges it directly encourages violence, which would not be constitutionally protected. So it appears to all be constitutionally protected speech on, I might add, very politically sensitive topics that Facebook is directly working with the U.S. government to target and remove. Is that your company policy to do this kind of thing?
Senator, we were quite public about our cooperation with health organizations during the unprecedented time of COVID. We knew that people expected and wanted accurate information on our platform. We had conversations with the CDC, with the World Health Organization, and with other public health organizations, not just in the U.S., but abroad, in order to understand how to help make sure that folks weren't getting information that could cause imminent harm.
Why don't you understand the First Amendment? They were entitled to make their statement. They are entitled under the First Amendment to make their statement. There's nothing insightful by them saying, my uncle used ivermectin and it worked for him. And when he will tell you, we were fully clear about what we were doing. You, the hell you were. We had no real idea. We suspected, and now we got more proof. But again, back to Missouri Senator Hawley as he presses.
You didn't just consult with them to understand how they affected public health. You actually censored on their behalf. I mean, you took these emails, I'm just quoting from a sample of them, which, by the way, have been disclosed in litigation. These emails show that you took censorship steps. You took down accounts. You planned misinformation policies. You adjusted your policies at the behest of the United States government. I mean, that's not just some theoretical thing. That's actually targeting your user's speech But I appreciate your forthrightness, by the way. So, but you're saying that you think that's fine and that was your policy.
Senator, we've been public about our policies on COVID misinformation specifically, as well as on misinformation generally.
And so you think you're not concerned about any of this? Nothing that I just read to you, you're not concerned about it at all?
Respectfully, Senator, I think the balance of how to protect free expression as well as public safety is a difficult issue. But it's one we're committed to working with outside experts and publishing our work.
No, it's not outside experts. It's because you're willing to be under the thumb of the Biden White House and Dr. Fake at the time. You probably were experienced to some of these shutdowns and flashbacks. I know if I just mention coming up, we're going to be talking about COVID, immediately a label appeared on my promo page for real facts of COVID. I didn't say anything other than we're going to talk about it. But for real facts, you got to go here. And did you note that he said within 46 seconds, they got one down that they complained about? They didn't bother checking facts. They just did it. I want you to hear some Missouri Senator Hawley with his follow-up and conclusion.
My view is that the United States government is bound by the First Amendment. They cannot encourage or coerce or incite or collude with a private party to get around the First Amendment. But you've just said to me today that that's basically what they did, that you coordinated with them repeatedly over a pattern of months and years to adjust and target your speech policies for protected speech at the behest of the United States government. I have to tell you, I've got a big problem with that, and I think all your users should too.
I think America does. And they don't get it? The reason I want to spend time on this is because the closer we get to the election, be aware again how they'll be trying to put this into effect, and you will be the enemy if you dare speak against what they believe you should say. Well, I'm going to continue to exercise my First Amendment constantly, and I expect you will as well. Coming up, some of these defund police squad members, oh, they've got their protection. Oh, and somebody has an idea how to solve so much crime in Chicago. What a joke. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, you know, members of the squad were among those shouting loudly, defund police. We don't want police to have guns even. And as they were pointing out, you know, maybe guns aren't really used that much by police. So maybe when they go to a domestic situation or a little car wreck like we saw up in Fargo, North Dakota last month, they don't really need to have their guns. They could leave them in the car. If you missed last Friday's program, I told you how these police officers were simply showing up to investigate what appeared to be nothing more than a fender bender. One officer's in the street near the cars looking them over. Three are all to the side. They might have come in two different cars or three. I don't know. I don't know why that many were there, to be quite honest, but maybe in the beginning they weren't sure if there were serious injuries. And three of them are standing off to the side, and suddenly a gunman pops up behind another car and opens fire, killing one officer and wounding two and a woman. And the other officer was not hurt, and he continued to advance and shoot the gunman down. He had his pistol on his hip with extra mags. If he had gone, had to go back to his car, he might not have made it. So for those idiots who think, well, police don't really need to carry their guns, they're not going to use them all the time, which is it? Are police over the top of their guns shooting all the time? Or they don't really use them? But here you have AOC, of course, and seven of her radical leftist squad. They do not want you to have protections in your neighborhood and where you might need it. But take note of this. We pointed this out before because Cori Bush of Missouri is a prime example, but she's not the only one. Cori Bush reported spending, according to figures first revealed by the New York Post through Federal Election Commission records, spending more than $730,000 on private security. $75,000 of that went to her husband because he has a security license. Well, hell yeah, she's going to be paying that money. I'd go get a security license. And Ocasio-Cortez, $270,000, including security upgrades at their district offices. Why that you were loved by the people, AOC? Why would you need security? I know. MAGA people. I know. I understand. They're scary, aren't they? I mean, if you could smell them in Walmart, like FBI Director Agent Smurf said, they must be really bad. But for Cori Bush spending $736,000. And they also point out a St. Louis-based peace security group constantly reporting and promoting the Second Amendment to fight against Bush's anti-gun campaign messaging. They had a private security firm racking up $380,000. So they were also a little afraid on their side. These expenses for AOC, though, I mean, it's part of it's for hacking. They want to roll that in. But for Cori Bush, it's primarily for personal security. As she clearly stated at one time, what do you want to see, a black woman killed? No, I don't want to see a black woman killed, not even you. I don't want that to happen. But the hypocrisy. You will not allow other black citizens in your own city, your congressional district, to have the adequate police protection they think they need. But you're going to have your protection. See, that's what happens when people like this get in charge and in control. You've always suspected. It's not true, but I know you can suspect it. And there have been enough cases that makes you think, well, surely there's got to be something there. Politicians go in the office, just a dirt poor farmer, but they come out really, really rich. And some have spouses who make a lot of money on a side business, and maybe they got a couple of tips here and there about stock, when it's going to go up or down. Or maybe they had some connections that made them extra money. Proving it's a crime, that's another issue. but it's the kind of thing that sits in the craw of many Americans who are struggling day to day. As we said in the beginning of the first segment, Democrats will have you believe the two biggest issues, and by I say Democrats, I'm going to limit it to progressives because there are a lot of Democrats that are suffering just as Republicans. The economy is not a favor to anyone unless you're really, really rich. But they want to tell you that economy is not a big issue. Crime is not a big issue. Immigration not a big issue. The two most important issues would be democracy. Well, we all care about democracy, but what they're trying to do is tie it to January 6th, and that Trump would be bad for democracy. Even if you just heard Hillary Clinton and her campaign, Democrat National Committee, created a false story about Trump to remove him as president. And later Hillary Clinton denied she lost, and Stacey Abrams still thinks she's the governor of Georgia. And you have others who say that we can't let any Republicans in control because they're anti-black. I don't know if you saw the picture the other day of Trump at one of his rallies behind him, and obviously they put them in there for a reason. And I'll bet it absolutely incensed liberals. Numerous black people wearing hoodies or sweatshirts, I couldn't tell. Blacks who support Trump. Oh, you know they had to make some of them go crazy. Or they were looking at the black people and said, well, you're not really black. Or you sold out. You're not allowed to have your own opinion. Is that not dismissive of the intelligence of black people if they decide something different than what you think? I don't agree with all my relatives. That doesn't make them enemy and stupid. It's just that we have a disagreement. And then I told you that there's a decision, or rather a proposal in Chicago to end crime. This is one that I have you thinking, what? I know. Here we go. It comes from a Democrat. My boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, Andrew, sent this to me. This Chicago alderman, I'm not going to bother the name, I could care less. She's boosted a proposal that is calling for the people's ordinance to stop crime in the city. Here's what they're asking. The ordinance would call for a ceasefire in Chicago between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. No shooting during those hours. That will stop crime. They're asking for all gunshots to not occur between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. It would reduce risk to Chicagoans who are not involved in high-risk activities and maybe visitors. Twelve hours a day where you don't shoot your gun. Well, I imagine if some thugs are thinking other thugs are going to abide by that, it's open season. And I would imagine it should also carry the thought that if you visit Chicago, you better be in your hotel room. Don't go out for dining or shopping after 9 p.m. Her reaction is... We have to start somewhere. So from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., please, please don't shoot in Chicago. I don't think that anybody has broken down yet how many killings happen during the day versus at night, early hours. But I'm sure they're going to be significant both ways. But she says, we need to approach our city's gun violence problem strategically. Yeah, that's strategic. You know, I just saw another story attached to this. I haven't had time to look at it, but... Oh, she also adds, need to stop associating and glorifying shooters. So if you know a shooter, get away from them and don't call them a hero, right? And she said, when those who live a certain lifestyle try to hang with regular class citizens, they put everyone at risk. So thugs, you need to stay away from possible victims. But here's the other story I just stumbled across here. There's an aspiring Senate, or rather Seattle representative, is running for office, and she got caught on a camera in a business stealing. She's on camera stealing. She's holding up a grocery basket and a store just going to go out with it without paying for it. But you know what? She's not going to drop out of the race. She is the new politician, wouldn't you say? So we're not going to be shooting guns between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. in Chicago, and we're going to let shoplifters in Seattle be elected to the legislature. I have another question for you. Now, I want you to be honest about this. Anyone out there, you don't have to shed a tear, but I just want to know, anyone out there feel sorry for Joe Biden and his family? Dana Lash of CNN and Inez does.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Just a reminder that David Weiss has been working on this for 5 years. In 5 years. I'm not a lawyer, but I've sort of covered enough of this to know that 5 years is a really long time. Yeah. And, you know, God forbid we bring humanity into this, but to be, you know, sort of stringing along and to be having a person's life in limbo, and we're talking about Hunter Biden, mm-hmm. and we're talking about his family, and, you know, frankly, the president's family, taking politics aside. If you change the name mm-hmm. from Hunter Biden to Joe Smith, you would say, you know what, that's not really fair.
It's not. What if you change the name Joe Biden to Donald Trump and family? Would that be fair? What a goofball. You know, she's not a lawyer, but I think we all know that 5 years is a long time. But why are they going after him this long? Why have they been against Trump since the day he came down the escalator and announced he's run for president? Constantly. And looking for all kinds of charges. Through his entire administration, and even to this day. And, of course, got all these four indictments against him. And they're talking about a fifth coming out of Arizona. Why? Is that fair? Don't you feel sorry for him? They don't. By the way, we touched on this the other day. I told you that the DOJ actually planned to let Hunter Biden off the hook. I mean, in addition to the sweetheart deal, they started to say, we're not going to do any charges. We'll just let it go until the whistleblower started showing up. So then they crafted the sweetheart deal. Whistleblowers were part of the cause, and here's another possible cause. Hunter Biden's lawyers actually warned the prosecutors last year, if you prosecute Hunter Biden and you deliver criminal charges against him, one of the first witnesses we're going to put on the stand will be Papa Joe. Yeah, the lawyer wrote a letter to prosecutors last October when their federal agent said they had enough evidence to charge the first son with illegally buying a firearm while still using crack cocaine, and the letter said President Biden now unquestionably would be a fact witness for the defense and any criminal threat. So the whistleblowers got them to say, well, we can't just let him off the hook. We got to do something, come up with a sweetheart deal. And then when it became apparent they might go back after him on the gun charges, well, we'll put Joe Biden on the stand. If you're not into this program and what's happening, let your family and friends know it's good and it's going to get better. Second hour still to come. Lock and load. Ready on the right.